I'm going to share just a quick kind of little message that I got from what the Lord has spoken to me, and that's from Philippians 3, 12 through 16. So if you guys want to turn there in your Bibles with me, we'll get through that. So it says, not as though I've already attained, either we're already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, for which I am also apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended this, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many be perfect, be thus minded, and if any thing ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. So, as I talked about, you know, we haven't always been, you know, striving to go to the mission field. And I think that's something that we kind of got distracted by, you know, distracted by things in this world. And I guess my question for you guys, and you know, and something that I would like you guys to think about is, you know, this past, you know, in 2 weeks ago, we had, you know, Brother Farnham here, and he shared this big revival meeting, a revival with us, and you know, a lot of people, you know, came up here and made a decision for the Lord. And you know, I don't know those decisions, and they're different for everybody. And you know, and I know that there were people who didn't come up here to the altar, but still made decisions in their own heart, and that's okay. You know, you don't have to come up here for it to mean something. You can ask Nathan. You know, 7 years ago, I made the decision to trust the Lord as my Savior, and then after they did that, they're like, all right, you know, those who come, you know, who trusted in Christ, you know, come forward and, you know, we can give you counseling. And I was like, no. and I didn't go down. And, but you know, that was a decision that I still made in my heart. And, you know, I think it's worked out for me pretty well. but my question is, for those of you who made a decision for the Lord, whatever it may have been in your heart, how are you doing with that? How are you doing with that? You know, very honestly and very candid with you guys, I made a decision to read my Bible more, to pray with my wife more, to read my Bible with her more. And in the past 2 weeks, I can honestly tell you on one hand how many times I've actually done that. You know, it's tough, and you know, and I could use excuses to try and justify it, but ultimately, what am I doing with it? And I haven't been doing it. And so my challenge for you guys tonight is, are you sticking to it or are you dropping it? Now, I have 2 points, which, and that's what I'm going to talk about tonight with you guys, is what it does look like and what it doesn't look like to be pressing toward that goal. And now I'm the kind of guy that if you give good news or bad news, someone comes up to me like, you want good news or bad news? And I typically say I want the bad news first, just because, you know, that's hopefully by the time that I hear the good news, I'll like kind of calm down or, you know, not thought about the bad news as much. So, that's the kind of guy I am. And that's kind of how I am going to structure, this thing, is I'm going to talk about what it doesn't look like first. And we can see that in a couple verses down in Philippians 3, 18 and 19. And it says, for many of whom I have told you often, and now even tell you weeping, that they are enemies of the cross, whose end is their destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, and who mind earthly things. So, what it, you know, and this is a pretty serious thing. And to me, the Bible says to Paul that it was pretty serious too, because it says here, about the end being their destruction, you know, Paul says it's that he's weeping. You know, he's crying about these, you know, these people. And, you know, for those of you who may know, I don't know, but as far as I could find, this was the only reference of Paul weeping. Now, you can tell me afterwards if that's true or not. But as far as what I could find, this is the only evidence of Paul weeping. And you know, that's a pretty serious thing. You know, if Paul's crying about the, you know, about these people and he's sad over this, that their end is their destruction, it's a pretty serious thing. So I'm going to talk about three ways that you can kind of tell if your life is, if you're not pressing toward the goal. The first one is talking about whose God is their belly. That's kind of a weird phrase when I thought about it. Whose God is their belly. When I heard that first, I thought, all right, well, he's talking about gluttony. And, you know, who God is their food? That doesn't make sense. And then I kind of looked at, you know, what it meant in the ancient days and kind of what it meant for them. And the Greek word for belly is kolia. You can tell me if I'm pronouncing that wrong. But it's used as their desires. You know, it's talking about whose God is their desires. And we can see that in Romans 16, 17, and 18. And it uses the same wording and actually uses the same Greek meaning. And this is Paul again, and he says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good works and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." So, you know, in ancient times, they used, you know, nowadays we talk about, you know, all our feelings come from the heart. Well, back then they were talking about their, you know, the feelings come from their stomachs, their bowels. And, you know, nowadays we kind of use the expression, well, I had a gut feeling about it. And so that's kind of what they were talking about is, you know, that these people were following their own desires. They were seeking what they wanted. And you can see that in the culture now today. You know, people focus on what they want, what makes them happy. And, you know, I'm not sure if this is still their slogan, but Burger King, not too long ago, their slogan was, "Have it your way." Have it your way. And that's the kind of the culture, you know, that we have today is we want things our way, what makes us happy. And that's just doesn't align with the truth of what the Bible says. It's not about what we want. Ultimately, it's about what the Lord wants. And, you know, and I can see that in some Christians who have struggled with their faith and they say, you know, or they talk about leaving the church like, well, it doesn't have what I want. There's not enough, you know, kids there. There's not enough teens, not enough people my age. I just want to be like, church isn't Burger King. It's not about what you want. And that's, you know, that's one way is if you're focused on what you want, what your desires are, that's a sign that, you know, you may not be pressing toward what you want and pressing toward your goal. And the second talks about, you know, the glory is in their shame. And essentially what that is people bragging about things that they should be ashamed of, you know. And again, you can see that in the culture today. I'm a little bit younger than some of you people in here. And so, you know, when I go to work and, you know, I hear the people and I go to a lot of different places and while working in a vending position. And so I go to a lot of different places and I hear, you know, conversations that people have, and a lot of them don't think I do, but I do. And it's just, come on, people. Like, you know, you hear people talk about, you know, like, oh, you know, like I got so wasted last night and I did this and did that. And then men talking about how many, like, people they've been with. I was like, that's not something to be proud of. Come on, guys. It's just like, I don't know why the culture nowadays thinks that it's, you know, so awesome to get, you know, blackout drunk and not remember the night. I don't know about you, but I'm going to be a lot more happy if I remember the night before and I don't have to deal with the consequences. So ultimately, you know, that's my second point is people being proud of things that they should be ashamed of. And the third way is, is having their mind on earthly things. And, you know, being honest with you guys, this is an area I struggled with. You know, for those of you who have been with me on this journey for the past, you know, I guess 7 years, you know, I was, when I went to Bible school, obviously I met my lovely wife there, but, you know, that's where God really put a desire in my heart for missions, to go overseas and to preach the gospel where people don't hear it. The Bible says that we should go throughout the world and preach the gospel. And I firmly believe that that's what I should be doing. And so I was taking steps toward that, and I was following it, and, you know, and I was gonna be a missionary in Taiwan with my friend. Me and him were gonna go together, and, you know, we were gonna serve 2 years in Taiwan together, working with Word of Life, and, you know, but obviously, you guys have known me for the past couple of years, and I don't know, maybe you guys can answer, but, am I in Taiwan? Not quite. and that's because it was, for me, I just got so focused on earthly things and focused on relationships. You know, I love being married, but that was a huge, you know, problem for me. And a reason why I didn't go is because I was worried that, you know, if I were to go, would the Lord bring Ashley and I apart from each other? That was something that scared me. You know, she was someone who meant a lot to me, someone who I knew I wanted to marry. And, you know, it was a moment of failure on my end. I chose to, you know, focus on that aspect of my life and our relationship and not focus on the main relationship, which I should be focused on, which was my relationship with God. And so, you know, obviously I didn't go to Taiwan, but, you know, I did get married. And now I think that I've got the best of both worlds because I'm looking at being a missionary again and I get to do it with my lovely wife. So I think I got the best of both worlds. But it was an issue where I focused on my relationships and I think that, and it was a moment of downfall on my point because it was a lack of faith. Because if I truly believed that the Lord wanted me to be with Ashley, I should have been able to go and have faith that if He wanted us together, He'd keep us together. And if He didn't, then the Lord would have, you know, He would have, you know, brought someone else or brought us back together, you know. It was a moment of in my life, where I got focused on the earthly things and not what the Lord wanted. So, kind of the bummer part of it. But I think now we get to talk about the good part. We got the bad news out of the way. And now I like to talk about what it does look like to be pressing toward the goal. And for me, or what the Bible says, is that we should be following Christ's example. Because obviously in this verse he's talking about, you know, Paul's talking about being perfect like our Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll never be perfect on this side of eternity. I know some of you were trying to work towards it, but we won't be. So we won't be perfect, but we should strive to be like Christ. And strive to be and to follow his example that he set. And one of the things that we can see in his life is his humility, the example that he set to us, you know, through his humility. And we can see that just a page back in Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8. And it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of a cross." Now, I am used to working with the kids, so You know, I just, when I try to use this illustration of, you know, the humility of God, I try to, you know, use the illustration of think of the best place that you can think of. You know, the best, you know, place that you've ever been to. And a lot of the kids, it's usually like Chuck E. Cheese, right? You know, they're like, oh yeah. So, then I try to say, okay, well think of that. Think of it way better than Chuck E. Cheese. Maybe they got new games in there, the best games ever and stuff like that. And you have unlimited tokens or whatnot. And I think of the best thing that you could ever imagine. And then heaven was even more than that. And, you know, and God and Jesus, you know, being part of God, he was there. But then he left that amazing place to come down to here, earth, to die for us. If that's not humbling, then, you know, I don't know what is. I mean, I can't even imagine what was going through his thought, what, through his mind. And we know that it was because of his love for us. That's why he came, because he wanted to spend time with us. He wanted to spend eternity with us. And he knew that that was only possible by his son dying for our sins on the cross. And so he left heaven, came to be born in a manger, not a great place, not even in a bed or a hospital or anything like that, but to be born in a manger, to be raised up to die for us. It's pretty, you know, humbling. And then also we can follow his example of love. You can see that in the most known verse in the Bible, John 3:16. You know it? You can say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I don't know about you guys. Maybe you're a little bit better than I am. But a lot of times I don't deserve someone's love. Sometimes I can be, you know, catch me on a bad day, and I'm not the best. God, I'm not the most loving person, or I'm not the most lovable person. But he loved me enough to die for my sins. And that's huge. The next thing, to keep pursuing, pressing toward the goal, is forgetting the past. Forgetting the past. You know, I've made a lot of dumb decisions in my life. My mom can attest to that. She raised me. And a lot of people have the issue of like, well, I can't do ministry. Or I shouldn't be saved because of the things I've done. You know, Nathan was just talking to me this morning, you know, about one of the kids that he talked with at Reverb. You know, he knew he was a sinner. He said he didn't want to burden anybody with his sin. Sounds like he needs to forget his past. The Lord did. He paid for it all. And that is what's important, to press on towards the goal. You know, it's hard to move forward to a goal if you're holding on to your past. And we can see that in the life. We can see that in the examples that God set for us of just the people who he chose. I mean, you know, I've done some not great stuff. And, you know, everybody makes mistakes and everybody's a sinner. And, you know, we've all made mistakes, but that doesn't disqualify us. And you can look at the people who God used throughout the Bible to spread his message. And look at David, you know. And then look at, you know, the biggest example that most people think of is the example of Paul. And you can see that in Acts 22:3-5. And it says, "For verily I am a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus in the city of Cilicia, yet brought up in the city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God as ye are to this day. And I persecuted this way unto the death, and binding and delivering into prison both men and women. As also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all estate from the elders, from whom I received letters unto brethren, and went to Damascus, and bring them which are bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished." Paul was, he was so zealous toward the Jewish law and so trying to follow it that he persecuted Christians. He would take them and then throw them in jail to, We can also see another example of Paul, back when he was Saul. See an example of just kind of what would, what his life was before. And we can see that in the stoning of Stephen. And we can, you can find that in Acts 7, verses 57 and 58. And they said, but they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witness laid down their coats at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. So he was persecuting so much, and these people in the city that they decided to stone him and to get a better throw at Stephen. They laid down their coats, you know, at the feet of Saul, and they're like, all right, let's go. They take off their jacket, which I can see because I'm a little warm now. But they took off their jackets and laid it at their feet, and Saul did nothing about it. And so if anything, you know, that's the kind of people who God uses. What an encouragement that is for me. I wasn't there when anybody stoned someone, so, you know, and I wasn't, you know, persecuting Christians and stuff like that. So what an example it is. And if he uses those kinds of people, he can use anyone. And he will use anyone as long as you're willing. But you're not going to be able to do anything if you're holding on to your past. And the last thing is keeping your eye on the prize. Now, the prize. Well, I think that's one thing that I struggled with, is keeping my eye on the prize. And what's our goal is, you know, is to be like Christ. And you know, a lot of people kind of, like I talked about earlier, get focused on the world. Which, you know, you kind of understand we live in the world and we don't, you know, and so we're here right now. And people just don't think about what it's going to be like after this one. And people get so focused on 70 to 100 years on a good end. 70 to 100 years. And you know, praise the Lord if you live longer than that. But 100 years in the face of eternity, nothing. Not even a drop in the ocean. And people get so focused on that, and they don't have their focus on the rest of eternity, and they don't focus on the glories that are to come, and so they get lost in their own desires, and they don't think of what riches you can have in heaven. The riches that you're going to have in heaven, you're going to spend a lot more time with those riches than you are with the ones here. So we need to focus on that. And just a couple, one thing that I want to share with you guys about to help you kind of stick with pressing toward the goal. And this is something that Ashley and I really learned a lot when we went to the 24-hour demo, and which really helped us out, accountability. Now, on our own, we'd probably just be working a regular job. When we're probably not doing a whole lot, so we get distracted, and, you know, we would use those excuses as a reason why we aren't focused or that, or why we aren't filling out the application or whatnot. But when we came back from the 24-hour demo and learned the importance of accountability, we met with Nathan and Whitney, people who have helped me a lot in my own journey, in my relationship with the Lord, and we asked them, you know, we're not going to do this on our own. If it was focused on just us, you know, we may not go. And we don't want that. We know the Lord has called us, and we don't want to take our eye off that. We asked them, Can you meet with us at least on a monthly basis and just ask us how we're doing with it? To keep us accountable on this goal that we have. And praise the Lord, they did. And, you know, obviously we went on our mission trip. Going back to that question I asked you guys, you know, how are you doing with your goal? I'm not, like I said, I'm not doing the best at it. And, you know, and I ask you guys right now for accountability and helping with that. And I talked about how you don't need to go up to the altar for it to mean something. But I will tell you, it helps. It helps. Because every person that sees you come up here and make a decision for the Lord, someone that can help keep you accountable and to keep you focused on that goal. Ultimately, that's what we need. God gave us a huge resource, and that's the local church. Without, you know, Ash and I shared, you know, without you guys behind us, we wouldn't have gone at all. Who's standing behind you?